In the name of the Father, Son, the Holy Spirit, Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful and kindle within us the fire of your divine love. Send forth your Spirit, and it shall be created. Let us pray. O God, who did instruct the hearts of your faithful by the light of the Holy Spirit, granted by the same Spirit, we may be truly wise, ever rejoice in his consolation through the same Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Lady Guadalupe.
Pray for us.
Saint Joseph.
Pray for us.
Saint Martin.
Pray for us.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
Read from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Jesus said, do to others whatever you would have them do to you. This is the law and the prophets, the gospel of the Lord. Good evening. So that's called the golden rule. The golden rule. To do to others what you want them to do to you. Everybody understands that. Catholics, Christians, pagans, atheists, agnostics. We all understand that. The whole world would practice that, and the whole world would probably be saved. So that's the initial thought I'd like to give, is try to put into practice the golden rule. Last week, we gave a talk on one word from the diary, and it was grace. I explained the importance of grace for our salvation. I gave a definition of grace, the life of God within our soul. I spoke about when we receive grace, the sacrament of baptism. Spoke about actual graces, sanctifying grace, sufficient grace, prevenient grace, sacramental grace, loss of sanctifying grace, how to recover it, ways that we can grow in grace. Spoke about St. Augustine as a doctor of grace. We spoke about Mary as the full of grace. So hopefully that talk was helpful for all of us to appreciate one of the most important concepts in theology, which is the theology of grace. So let's go to the text now. We're number 31. Now Mary embedded a very beautiful image of the Blessed Mother with what Our Lady said to Saint Faustina. She says, I am not only the Queen of Heaven, but also the Mother of Mercy. Queen of Heaven, but also the Mother of Mercy. Saint Therese will say that Mary is queen, but she's more mother than queen. I kind of like that. She's queen, but she's more mother than queen. So let's pray that we understand Mary's motherly role in our lives. Her motherly role in our lives. St. Augustine will go on to say that put all the love of all the love mothers of all time together, the love that Mary has for you is much greater. Very profound, isn't it? Place all the love of all the mothers of all times together, The love that Mary has for you is much greater than that. Pray that we're able to understand that. Let's read. Once I saw a big crowd of people in our chapel, in front of the chapel, and in the street, because there was no room for them inside. The chapel was decorated for a feast. There were a lot of clergy near the altar, then our sisters and those of many other congregations. They were all waiting for the person who was to take place on the altar. Suddenly, I heard a voice saying that I was to take the place on the altar. What would happen if you had that vision tonight that you are going to be the person who's going to be on that altar? No? You're going to be the one to be canonized, huh? Let's pray that that's the case. Maybe one day some of you people will be canonized, no? Suddenly I heard a voice saying that I was to take the place on the altar, but as soon as I left the corridor to go across the yard and enter the chapel, following the voice that was calling me, all the people began to throw at me whatever they had to hand. Mud, stones, sand, here's a good word, brooms. To such an extent that I at first hesitated to go forward. But the voice kept on calling me even more earnestly, so I walked on bravely. So some of you think I'd like to be canonized, but I don't like that second part of the paragraph, huh? So one point I'd like to make on this, number is that if we're going to follow Christ, we shouldn't be surprised if we undergo persecution. I repeat, if we're going to follow Christ, we should not be surprised that we undergo some type of persecution. That persecution can be at work, can be, often it's in the family. Jesus said, I've not come to bring peace, but war. Father against son, son against father. Mother against daughter, daughter against mother. Mother-in-law against daughter-in-law, daughter-in-law against mother-in-law. Jesus made that prophecy. And a classical example is you people have done the exercises, and maybe some of your family members have not. So as a result of that, you're really trying to live good lives. You're really trying to live holy lives. You're really trying to overcome your bad tendencies. So if you're living with someone that does not have the same formation, you shouldn't be surprised that there's going to be some type of persecution. Often it happens, you know, the wife does the exercise, the husband doesn't, and they're just two totally different wavelengths. So, point is, if we're going to follow Christ fully, we should expect some type of persecution. There are eight Beatitudes. Father John Lyons, who was here for about 7 years, he said in one of his homilies, if we live out the first 7 Beatitudes, then our recompense is the 8th. Blessed are those who are persecuted. Kind of like that. So we live out the first 7 Beatitudes. Then our reward is that we will be able to imitate the Lord and will be persecuted for the sake of the Lord. But our names are written in heaven. Okay, now, this is extraordinary because St. Faustina is prophesying her own canonization. We've never read in the lives of the saints where a saint is actually prophesying his or her canonization. This is pretty rare. Okay, let's talk about her canonization and what it means to be canonized. St. Faustina was canonized. She was the first saint to be canonized in the year 2000. So the new millennium, she was the first one. And she's actually canonized on Mercy Sunday. She was canonized by, guess who? John Paul II. Remember talking with Father Mike Gately about this on one occasion? Father Mike Gately said that when John Paul II canonized St. Faustina on Mercy Sunday, and it was the same day in which he instituted Mercy Sunday as a solemn liturgical feast day, John Paul II said that was the happiest day in his life. Because Mercy Sunday was going to be instituted formally, but also that Faustina would be the first canonized saint, and it would be related to mercy. And where are we now? We're in the very tail end of the year of mercy. What are we doing? We're reading through the Diary of St. Faustina so that we can understand mercy all the more. I really feel that that's interesting. John Paul II, the happiest day in his life, then he could give his Nunc Dimittis. He's going to live about another 5 years. This is the year 2000. John Paul II is going to live till the year 2005, the 2nd of April. But he felt once he's done that, his mission as priest, bishop, pope, future saint had arrived at its climax. Okay, when someone is canonized, what happens? They're studying not whether or not this person has done miracles in his life. Most people think that the saints were some, they did miracles during their life. That's secondary. And it's interesting that Saint Thérèse of Lisieux, she never did a miracle in her life. Saint Anthony, many. Saint Francis of Assisi, many. John Bosco, many. Padre Pio, many. But it is not indispensable that the individual carry out miracles during his life. What's important is that the person is practicing what is called heroic virtue. He's practicing faith, hope, charity, justice, prudence, temperance, fortitude, patience, meekness, purity, obedience. These are the virtues that have to be practiced so that this person, once he died, will be a canonized saint. So the miracles are not indispensable for the person to be a canonized saint. But the miracles come after the person dies. And the process is servant of God. For example, Father Hardin is a servant of God. Then venerable. My founder of the Oblates, is a venerable. You go beyond that, blessed. And then finally you have the canonization process after the third miracle. Now the Pope can actually dispense a miracle. So it's servant of God, venerable, blessed saint. Let's read on. When I entered the chapel, the superiors, the sisters, the students, and even my parents started to hit me with whatever they could. And so whether I wanted to or not, I quickly took my place on the altar. As soon as I was there, the very same people, the students, the sisters, the superiors, my parents, all began to hold their arms out to me asking for graces. Very interesting, isn't it? Fair weather friends, huh? Fair weather friends. You know, I see that parallel too. Palm Sunday and Good Friday. Palm Sunday, they acclaim Jesus as King. Good Friday, many of the same cried out, "Crucify Him." And how easy it is for us to be on fire when we've got consolation, or filled with consolation and interior sweetness, follow the Lord. But then when the rubber hits the road, the acid test of trial and tribulation and persecution and dryness and maybe all those things, you heard me a month ago give you the talk on the dark night of the soul, right? We go through those difficult times. That's, I think, when the real character of the person comes forth. So let's pray for the grace to be faithful to God in good times as well as the tough times. Hard to say, health and sickness. No? In times in which people are on our side, but also when people maybe go against us. The key is we have to focus on Jesus Christ. I repeat, we have to focus on Jesus Christ. If we don't focus on Jesus Christ, we focus on the world. Now what surrounds us? We're going to sink. Do you remember when the apostles, when Peter was walking on the water? He actually walked on the water. Why did Peter sink? What's that? So instead of looking at Christ, there was possibly a wind or a wave there. He lifted up his gaze and he focused more on the wave than on Jesus Christ. And he sunk. That's indicative of our lives. How often have we paid more attention to the wind and the waves than focusing on the face of Jesus Christ? And also, prudence of the flesh or human respect, you can't please everybody. You can't. But we have to please Christ. Story of the man, the little boy, and the mule. There they are, they're going through one town, and the townspeople say, they start to laugh at them and say, well, you got a mule, get on the mule. So the old man gets on the mule. They're going to the next town. And they start to criticize the man, saying, look at the poor boy. He's huffing and puffing, he's sweating. The old guy, he should let his son get on the mule. So then the boy gets on the mule. And the next town, they say, look at that boy, he doesn't know the fourth commandment. To respect his father. So what happens is the next town, both of them get on the mule. So the following, they both get on the mule, and it happens that the next town they go through, there's one of those animal rights society. So they start to criticize the man and the boy because they're afraid that the poor animal is going to have a heart attack. So the next town, they have to cross the bridge, so they're actually carrying the mule. So they slip and they fall off the bridge and they drown. The boy drowns. The father drowns. The mule drowns. What's the moral of the story? Love animals. No. The moral of the story is you can't please everybody. You have to please Christ. Either we are people pleasers or God pleasers. Hopefully we're going to be God pleasers and not people pleasers. Amen?
Amen.
So they began to hold their arms out to me, asking for graces. And as for me, I did not bear any grudge against them for having thrown all sorts of things at me. Now I was surprised that I felt a very special love precisely for those persons, would force me to go more quickly to my appointed place. Let's stop and think about that. When people make fun of you, when people mock you, people throw things at you, when people insult you, do you have a great love for them? Hello? I think the law of Talon kicks into full gear, huh? Eye for eye. Tooth for tooth. For that reason, we see how sublime is the holiness of Saint Faustina. How sublime. What a great saint this is. So the next time we receive some type of persecution, recognize that God has allowed that to happen to help you to grow in holiness. Most specifically, in humility and the opportunity to practice mercy. God purposely arranges those events to see how we're going to react to them. Some of us think, well, I go to St. Peter Schnell, I go to Perseverance, why should that happen to me? No. Look up at the cross. Why did it happen to him? Why did it happen to St. Faustina? Why did it happen to Blessed Mother? Same time my soul was filled with ineffable happiness. I heard these words. Do whatever you wish. Distribute graces as you will. To whom you will, and when you will, then instantly the vision disappeared. When I was meditating this morning, I was thinking about the greatness of St. Faustina. You might do this sometime tonight or tomorrow. Ask yourself, who are your 10 favorite saints? It's a good question. I'll mention 10 that I really have great devotion to. Can I? Our Lady, Queen of Angels and Saints. Saint Joseph, who is the greatest of all saints. Saint Michael the Archangel, great devotion of the angels. Saint Gabriel, Archangel. Saint Raphael. Every day I pray to Saint Michael, Saint Raphael, and Saint Gabriel, and Saint Joseph. Saint Faustina. How could anyone possibly read the diary and not fall in love with this great saint? Right? Pray to her. I have in my room a first-class relic of St. Faustina. I'm begging her for a special favor. Okay? It means a little bone of her. It's not mine, it's Father Larry's, but at least he got it in my room. Of course. If the boss allows me. St. Ignatius. St. Francis Xavier. St. Anthony Mary Claret. I'm writing an article now on eternity. I'm trying to compose a new blog article on eternity. I've never written one on that, but I feel eternity is so important. Forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. For me, that's fascinating. Eternity. Our life in comparison with eternity? St. Augustine says our life in comparison with eternity is a blink of the eye. And Anthony Mary Claret, I was reading his autobiography and preparing my talk, my article. When he was 5 years old, he was thinking about eternity and the possibility of salvation and condemnation. And he'd spend long hours at night just thinking about piling time upon time upon time upon time. And the fact that heaven and hell never ends. You know who else were really impressed by it? The Fatima children. After they saw the vision of hell, Jacinta would go to Lucia, but Lucy, eventually hell's going to end, isn't it? And Lucia said, no, well, after 100 years, no. After 1,000 years, no. After 10,000 years, no. All this week in my formation classes in Spanish, I gave a talk on preparation for holy death. And I gave them 10 points. And one of the points was, reflect on eternity. Forever and ever and ever. Another time, I heard these words. Go to the superior and ask her to allow you to make a daily hour of adoration for 9 days. During this adoration, try to unite yourself in prayer with my mother. Pray with all your heart, union with Mary. And try also during this time to make the way of the cross. I received the permission, though not for a full hour, but only for whatever time was left me after I carried out my duties. There's a lot in 32. I wrote down various ideas. The first is this. Saint Faustina received an inspiration. In mystical theology, this is called a locution. Okay? Locution means an interior voice that spoke to her heart. By now, you people should be aware of the locutions that God sends to you. I repeat, by now. You've done the exercise, and some have been with us for many years. If you're open to God's grace, you are receiving locutions. This is the interior working of the Holy Spirit in your soul. Problem is this. They come, but we have to be responsive and say yes to them. Because if we don't say yes to them, the Holy Spirit es un caballero. Okay? Es un caballero. Which means the Holy Spirit is a gentleman. He will recoil. He pulls back. And once he sees that you're open, gently, he returns. But I invite you to all think about the whole dynamic of these interior locutions that St. Faustina has on almost every page. She either has the exterior, or rather the interior locution, or she has visions. The locutions are more common. Number two in 32 is, go to the superior and ask her to allow. The importance of obedience. I've said this once, I say it again. Unless we're acting under obedience, our actions have little or no value. I repeat. Unless you're acting under obedience, your actions have little or no value. All the saints are real sticklers on this. No? So my superior tells me to do something. I carry that out. I receive a lot of graces by obeying my superior when he asks me to do something. We live in a world where everyone wants to do his own thing. Willfulness, pride, headstrong people, they want to do their own thing. So let's pray that we have an obedient heart. That we be obedient. The next is this locution is related to prayer. But what type of prayer? Prayer of adoration. Daily holy hour of adoration. Now, of all the prayers that we can do in our lives, the most sublime prayer that we can do is the prayer of adoration. In the past, I've taught you an acronym, A-C-T-S. It's a good acronym to recall the different modes of prayer. A-C-T-S. A stands for adoration. C stands for contrition. T stands for thanksgiving. And S stands for supplication. For all these different forms of prayer, adoration is the highest. And once we get to heaven, God willing, we're going to be with the angels. And the highest choirs of angels, the cherubim and the seraphim, what are they doing? Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might. Heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. So the highest realm of angels in heaven, what are they doing? They are praising God for all eternity. We are called also to practice adoration. What does Ignatius say? Man is created to praise God. Reverence God, serve God. By means of that, to save his soul. Now, the best way in which we can do it, you can do it through the Psalms. You can do it through song. You can do it through the Gloria, but the highest, most sublime way in which you can praise God is by participating fully, actively, consciously in the holy sacrifice of the Mass. Amen? So you participate in the holy sacrifice of the Mass, that's when you enter into the cult of adoration to the highest degree. The doxology, through him, with him, and in him. Can you finish it? Sounds like you're mumbling, huh? No, it's late at night. Okay. That's called the great doxology. Doxology means praise, which we're praising God. Try to live out the Mass more fully, and you'll be praising God. He was asked also by our Lord to pray for 9 days. What is this called? Novena. Do any of you ever do novenas? And if you ask young people, like confirmation kids, they don't have the foggiest idea what that is. Whereas all of us who are my age or older, all of us know what a novena is, right? It's a good practice. Novena means 9 days. Now, Saint Faustina would often make novenas to the Blessed Mother. You know what she would do before the Immaculate Conception, before the Assumption? She would pray every day for 9 days. She would pray 1,000 Hail Marys. We're going to keep a couple of people mumbling at that, huh? 1,000 Hail Marys, 9 days in a row. Now, you might feel that the Blessed Mother gets tired of that. Never. Fulton Sheen tells a story of an encounter on a plane with a young woman, a university student, and he sits down, he pulls out his rosary, starts to pray the rosary. And the young woman says, "Why are you praying that? That's for old ladies, no? Wasting your time? Repeating the same thing over and over again. Can't see how anyone would be happy with that." And Fulton Sheen said to the young woman, "Do you have a boyfriend?" "Yes, my fiance." "Well, did he ever tell you that he loves you?" "Yes." "When?" "Before boarding." "And before that?" "Well, we were in the car together." "Before that?" "The day before." "Well, how boring. Always the same thing." Mary never gets tired of hearing Hail Mary, Hail Mary, Hail Mary, Hail Mary, Hail Mary. So we should never get tired of saying Hail Mary, Hail Mary, Hail Mary, Hail Mary. Amen?
Amen.
33. I was to make this novena for the intention of my motherland. Which would be, of course. Well, let's stop. Should we pray for our country? Should we?
Yes.
Now more than ever. When I was meditating, I think, wow, right after the election, we got to pray. We got to pray for a new president. We got to pray for a vice president. We have to pray for Congress. We have to pray for a Senate. We have to pray for the politicians in California, we got to really pray. Do you think that in Poland, this would have been 80 years ago, you think there was more immorality practiced in Poland 80 years ago or the United States in 2016? Obviously, I mean, we're all sinners. Right? But Poland has always been one of the most Catholic countries in the world, practicing Catholics, devoted to Mary, devoted to the papacy, a country that suffered very much. We're going to be reading later on that God had decided to destroy Poland. Read it later on. But it was because of one person that Poland was not destroyed. Who was that? Who? Faustina. It was the prayers of Faustina that stayed the chastising arm of God from not destroying Poland. Remember the Mass 4 weeks ago? Who had his arms lifted?
Moses.
It was Moses, right? So Moses had his arms elevated. When his arms were elevated, what happened? When the arms started to get tired? So our strength is our prayer. And the greatest prayer, of course, is the holy sacrifice of the Mass. So unite your holy hour, your rosary, and your Mass with a little bit of penance, purity of heart, and intention. We got dynamite. We got dynamite. So take that as a cue that we should be praying for our country. I remember when I was in Argentina, John Paul II had come, and one of his discourses was, Argentinos, amad e vostra patria. Argentinians, love your country. It's called the virtue of patriotism. Most of us are immigrants here, right? If you're an immigrant here, you came here because you really felt that this is the country you wanted to live, right? So try to make this country a holy country. How are you going to do it? Pray for it and you'll become a saint, okay? Yes? It's not a cliche or a pious platitude. You'll become a saint. You're going to make this country a much better place for yourself as well as for others. On the seventh day of the novena, I saw between heaven and earth the Mother of God clothed in a bright robe. She was praying with her hands folded on her bosom, her eyes fixed on heaven. From her heart issued forth fiery rays, some of which were turned toward heaven, while the others were covering our country. There's a lot in there. There's a lot in there to meditate upon Mary. And it's this, is that Mary loves Poland, but also Mary loves the United States. There's approved apparitions in this country of Our Lady. The patroness of the United States is the Immaculate Conception. City of which we live is Santa Maria de Los Angeles. So there's a lot of Marian presence in this country. Filipinos, Latinos, it's in your blood to have that devotion to Mary. Live it out. Love Mary. Bring people to Mary. Talk about Mary. Imitate Mary. Have recourse to Mary. Let's go deeper. Clothed in a bright robe. And that means purity. Now, Lady of the Americas, which is approved apparition. Maybe some of you have never heard of Our Lady of Americas. Basically, Mary is calling the Americans to purity. The two essential messages are purity and praying for the family. This country. We're just engulfed in a quagmire of impurity in this country, but we're called to purity. Matthew 5:8. Blessed are the pure of heart, for they will see God. What else? Mary, with her hands, Mary has her hands folded. Now, with respect to our younger generation, Mary appears, she's very beautiful, but Mary is also very modest. Look at Lady Guadalupe. Look at the Mystical Rose. Look at the Lady Fatima. Look at the Lady of Lourdes. You know, one occasion, Saint Bernadette, they presented a painting of Our Lady of Lourdes, and it was very beautiful, and Saint Bernadette said, "More beautiful, more beautiful, more beautiful." Anthony Mary Claret had visions of the Blessed Mother, and he said this: Mary was very beautiful, but she took away all those lustful desires. Took away all those lustful desires. The magnificent, the beauty of the Blessed Virgin Mary. And Mary's eyes were fixed on heaven. Never allow a day to go by in which you do not lift your eyes, mind, heart to heaven. We have to think more about heaven. What is heaven? Heaven is our eternal destiny. And as the deer yearns for the running streams, so my soul yearns for you, O Lord my God. Turn to Mary and ask Mary to have a real hunger, a yearning for heaven. And early in this reflection, it says that she united her prayers with Mary. Now listen to this. You struggle with your holy hour. We all do. The struggle with your holy hour, we all do. Why not, when you make your holy hour, ask the Blessed Mother to come beside you and to pray for you and to pray with you. I really believe I've taught this in the exercises. We ask Mary to pray for us and to pray with us. I think that our holy hour is going to be much upgraded. But if we're just praying without Mary's intercession, it's going to be more dry, more arid, more temptations, and more difficult. That's why we say, Hail Holy Queen, Mother Mercy, our life, our sweetness, and our hope. It says, from her heart issued forth fiery rays. Fiery rays, some of which were turned toward heaven, while the others were covering our country. Pentecost, fire. The Holy Spirit descended upon the apostles in fire. One of the principal reasons was because Mary was present there, the first novena. The first novena in the church was Pentecost. First novena. There was an earthquake, there was fire, there was wind, and these men, who basically had abandoned our Lord, except St. John the Evangelist, they are transformed into great apostles and great saints, because Mary was present there. So let's beg for the grace to go really deeper in our prayer life through the intercession of Mary Most Holy and the intercession of St. Faustina. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let's end by saying the Hail, Holy Queen. Hail, Holy Queen, Mother of Mercy, our life, our sweetness, and our hope. To Thee do we cry, poor banished children of Eve. To Thee do we send up our sighs, mourning, weeping in this valley of tears. Turn then, most gracious Advocate, Your eyes of mercy towards us. And after this our exile, show unto us the blessed fruit of Adam, Jesus. O clement, loving, O sweet Virgin Mary, pray for us, O Holy Mother of God. The Lord be with you. Through the intercession of Mary, St. Faustina, St. Michael, St. Raphael, St. Gabriel, all God's angels and saints, may God bless you with peace, joy, long life, and eternal life. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.